Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stephen Stubbins and Tina Lloyd Mills on the piano. Thank you so much. Stephen is the co-executive director of one of our non-profit partners, Transcendence Theater Company, and he has a table in the social hall where you can meet him. And not only has he got a table of information, but there's a special deal going on for friends and members of the Center for Spiritual Living because of our relationship. You know, they have a holiday show, and that show is coming up on December 7th, right?
December 6th
through the 15th. Okay, well, you can get the exact correct details from Stephen outside in the social. Thank you very much. Thank you. So now that you're all woken up, I invite you to breathe in and sink into your chair and become aware of your breathing as the echoes of the music reverberate in your consciousness. And to let thought go wherever it wants to go. Imagine these words or words similar to them are being said silently in your mind as you remain in this receptive meditative state. Through the power of the living spirit within me, I begin each day with a clear mind and an attitude of wholeness. Through the power of the living spirit within me, I live my life authentically, easily expressing my uniqueness. I am sincere and honest because of what lives inside of me, and I find it easy to communicate openly because I trust the living spirit within me. Through the power of the living spirit within me, I know how to listen deeply and understand clearly. Through the power of the living spirit within me, I am confident and secure in my decisions. There is a presence within me. It is my true self. It is the self of spirit within me. It within me is my source of stamina, endurance, aliveness. Through the guidance of this inner presence, I attract loving relationships and friendships because my love and my friendliness comes from spirit within me. The self within is the source of my energy, my aliveness, my enjoyment. My life comes from the living spirit within, and I can never be separated from it. I invite you to take a deep breath. And as you exhale, let your eyes gently open. And in that meditation, you heard me talk of the self within. It's a good reminder, you have a self. That part of you that is your essential being, that part of you that separates you from all others, it's the part that makes you, you. And in our teaching, the Science of Mind, we teach that that self is always in its original state, innocent, pure, faultless, connected, holy. And spiritual living, the path of spiritual living, includes bringing that self out into expression in the world. That's pretty much what we're exploring today. The journey of discovering what hidden power there is inside of us. Now, why hidden? Well, because it's not in an obvious place. According to a very old legend, I think it has its origins in Hinduism, and I always call upon this story. There was a time when all people, you and me, were in tune with our divinity. And things got out of hand because humans were powerful and creative and couldn't be stopped. And so the creator decided that divinity would need to be placed somewhere where humans couldn't get to it. So there was a debate among the gods. And they decided where to hide humanity's divinity. Even though we know the outcome of the story, it's so true. The gods decided perhaps we should plant it under a rock on top of the highest mountain. And they said, no, these humans are too clever. They will figure it out eventually. Perhaps we should drop it to the bottom of the deepest oceans. And perhaps they can't get there now, but they will. They'll get to it. And they could not figure out a place to hide humanity's divinity until the Creator said, I know. I know what to do with it. I know where we will place humanity's divinity. We'll hide it somewhere that they will never look. Will hide it deep inside of themselves. It's the last place they'll think to look. You know, sometimes when we begin our spiritual journey, we're not even looking for our divinity. It's not even on the agenda. It's not on the radar, because many times we're just trying to figure things out in life. You know, so in Science of Mind, a teaching like ours, it teaches us how we can help ourselves. So there's this very practical part of the spiritual journey. Here is how you meditate and why it's important. Because it opens up the intuitive connection. And here's why you volunteer. Because service changes your life and your relationships and your sense of worth. Here's how and why you give. Because without giving, you aren't in the flow, the reciprocal flow of receiving and celebration and thanksgiving. Here's how you pray so that you can redirect the energy of your heart and mind. And at some point, during all of this self-help and the help of the teaching, it's unavoidable that we will come to a point where we will notice there's something else happening here that is larger than my problems, than my challenges, than my conflicts. There's something here that is constant, dependable, permanent. And we may not notice this at first because we may be focusing on what we need to survive. It's understandable. We may be so busy learning how to cope, so busy learning how to fix things that we're learning how to put things back into their places in our life. We're learning how to navigate through life, you know. And we get over one hill and we see there's another mountain just behind it. Oh, and life turns out to be hills and mountains, endlessly. And it takes a lot of time and effort and focus to deal with them. And again, we haven't even started looking for our divinity yet. Not even started. We're too busy moving hills and mountains. And then we think somewhere hidden in one of those hills is my happiness. Then after a while, it becomes clear this can't be the whole work of the spiritual journey. Maybe the work is leaving the hills and mountains exactly where they are. Oh, coming to peace with the hills and mountains. This can be difficult to hear, especially if you've invested a lot of time digging. And then it occurs that instead of struggling against them, we learn instead to work with our perception of hills and mountains. We learn to trust that the landscape of life is exactly as it is supposed to be. And when we realize that, something starts to stir inside of us. And then we start to notice there are untapped powers in me that before were hidden because of my focus on survival. And now I'm starting to get the clue of what the Creator hid away in me, the self. Inside, pure, original, aware, present, holy. Here's another way of saying the same thing. We begin the spiritual journey. Maybe we start off looking for help. And we find some method. Maybe it's a 12-step program. Maybe it's a therapist. Maybe it's Science of Mind teaching in a Center for Spiritual Living. And through the process, we learn that what we think shapes our experience of life. And this knowledge at first is thrilling. And it lifts us right up out of the various disempowering modes. You know, I'm at risk. I have no control over my outcome. I'm helpless. No. Through what you learn, you and I, we go, oh no, I can do something about my life's direction because of what's inside of me. There is a powerful good in the universe, and I can use it. It's within me. I can learn to pray affirmatively with a specific method and thereby participate in a reorientation of my life's direction by sinking my thinking with the knowing of the self within me. And then as we become more awake to the world and what we're doing inside of it, and more aware even of our inner conversations and more conscious of our choices, things start to clear up around us. I may even start to notice, this is where I've been sabotaging myself. This is where I can help myself change a little more. And this is very exciting as I learn these skills. I become interested in, well, I want better relationships, I focus there. I want better clarity, I focus there. I want to express more of my creative potential, I focus there. I may want to heal my heart. We may want to heal our bodies. We may want to heal our world. And we want to change what is wrong and make it right, because then and only then will we be at peace. Right? However, as we learn all these strategies, these spiritual skills, we can't help but notice we can only go so far with changing things out there. Oh, if you've ever tried to change anything in the world, you know how frustrating that can be. And then when you discover the truth about changing things out there, maybe if you're lucky, you discover it. Then there comes that moment where you give up the fight, which is a big step towards peace. In other words, you give up by letting things be as they are. You stop trying to control the world, you start looking for, where do I actually have control? Where do I have mastery? Where do I have choice? And so the search begins, and that search leads you and me to the hidden kingdom within, the hidden self within, the self that is awake, aware inside of you and me. And in that moment, we discover the realm of our perception. We call it consciousness. And you start to work in that kingdom, in the kingdom of my perception. Here's another way to say it. At some point in the spiritual journey, we must discover that the only thing we can change is our perception, our consciousness. Try to change things equals suffering. Try to change people equals suffering. Try to change history equals suffering. I think that's why the metaphysical teaching places so much emphasis on affirmative prayer. Because affirmative prayer is the inner movement of thought and feeling in the silence of our own minds, in our perception realm, till we see the world anew. So we see the world in the same way that our self within knows it really is. Of course, we still have to act in the world. We still have to vote. We still have to perform our duties. We still have to take care of our family. We still have to get involved in the world. It's just that if you and I, if we do not know the power of our perception, we might believe anything the world tells us. And then we could find ourselves back in the game, moving hills and mountains all over again, trying to move the world in the direction, all the changing out there. Let me try to explain what I mean. If I spend all of my time trying to change things out there, change him, change her, change this, change that, Or if when I'm praying, I'm attempting to use my prayer to force something into a change or to will something to improve or to plead for a favor, or you get the point. If I'm busy doing all of that, I may be missing one of the clues about the location of the hidden self. I may be missing part of the puzzle, and I think it's this. We don't use our mind to change things. We change our mind and things change. We don't will things to change. We change our minds and things will change. We do not use our minds to convince spirit, the divine, to do something for us. No. We tune our minds into the spirit of wholeness, the self within, and agree with it. Harmonize with it. And then see the world as it sees it. And then something happens. Another way of saying it. I may not be able to change reality, but I may be able to change the filter through which I view reality. And when I do, it is the case that reality changes by itself. I think it's story time. Another favorite story of mine comes from Sylvia Burstein in her book, It's Easier Than You Think. She talks about one of the most important teachers in her life, a woman whose name she doesn't even know. You see, she met her on a beach in Mexico, and this woman taught her that her view of life, which at the time was a view of the world as dangerous and perilous, was not shared by everyone on the planet. How it happened is she was spending the summer on a beach in Mexico, and it happened to be a very, very hot summer. And she was even uncomfortable in the fancy high-rise hotel room with air conditioning. And one day, in the adjacent caravan park, you know, trailer park next to the hotel, she met a young mother with two sons, a four-year-old and a crawler. And she got all worried about them, and she had a chat, and the woman explained that they decided to spend the summer in Mexico while her husband was off doing business on a small single-propeller plane, and suddenly Sylvia's mind started filling up with stories of terror. Woman alone in a foreign country, four-year-old in a crawler, the water quality, drinking, bathing, what about food, the hot climate, refrigeration, where's the nearest doctor, and a flying husband? So she constructed catastrophes in her mind. But the woman was having a great time. But as it turns out, that night there was a huge thunderstorm, rain. Sylvia worried when she woke up in the morning. She went out and the caravan park was in disarray. Scattered things everywhere. She looked all around for the woman. She found her. She said, how was the storm? The woman said, great. You know. She said, did you have any problems? Sylvia said, with the children? She said, oh, no. The baby slept right through it. And the four-year-old would have slept through it, but I woke him up so he wouldn't miss it. In Sylvia's words, I was stunned. I thought to myself, there is another way to do life. I completely got it that she and I took the same data and sought through different filters. I came out with a catastrophic story and she came out with a thrilling story. I wanted to change filters with her. The woman on the beach was a great teacher for me, although I was not able to change my behavior in any way. At that time, she taught me that another way of responding to life is possible. Is there something in your life that you might want to look at through a different filter? How do you know what that might be? Well, I suggest choosing the thing that you want to change the most. And how do you change your mind about something like that? I think the first step is to begin to acknowledge that there are other filters through which the same situation can be seen. You have to find that for yourself. And if you can't get there, go to the chapel after service and request prayer. It's an important first step. If you don't make that step, you'll just be working out there, moving hills and mountains. The second step is to experiment with other filters. How would that woman on the beach see your situation? Think of your situation right now and perhaps close your eyes with me and call into your awareness someone you admire very, very much and ask yourself, how would he or she look at that situation you're thinking of? Now bring into your awareness someone whose advice you would definitely not take. How would she or he think about the situation you're dealing with? And as if consulting some very wise part inside of you, ask silently to yourself, how is this situation I'm dealing with also, at the same time, a blessing? Thinking about the situation now, ask yourself, how does that spark of divinity within me, my true self, the hidden divinity within me, how does it understand the situation? What does it know? I realize that there is a divine presence at the center of my being. It is the self of God within me. I let this recognition flow through my entire consciousness. I let it reach down into the very depth of my being. I rejoice in this awareness. This presence is in every part of me. And just as the sun dissolves the mist, so does my acceptance of this presence within me dissolve all discord. I declare in my heart now that I am free because of what lives in me. And I rededicate myself to live from this presence within, so that in this world I may be a channel for its holiness, its hands to help, its heart to love, and its mouth to speak words of encouragement and love. And so it is. I invite you now to take a deep breath with me and to sigh as we make the transition to that part of our service, which is our offering. I invite the ushers to stand and invite you to prepare your gift. Because of the delays from the fires and the evacuations, our giving intention team continues to be out in the social hall to receive your giving intention, because I know some of you have been getting your lives back to normal. So we're here to support you, and you can still pick up your gift, or at least one of them now in the social hall. So if you place your hand on your chest, especially if you gave electronically as a symbol of your heart connection to your center, your giving, please say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.